right, George, I got a list real quick here on 420 of football players, college football players that derailed their career in college. Tyrann Mathieu at LSU.
Oh, that's a
Ricky
good one.
Williams at Texas.
That's another good
one. I have one for you. I know of this guy. Dave from Southwest Florida knows of him as well. He's from Charlotte, Florida, Charlotte High. He was the best running back in school in high school. I covered him when I was living in Southwest Florida. His name was Mike Bellamy. I mean, he was not that far behind Noel Devine. Mike Bellamy, and Clemson has always been good in the South Florida. They got Bellamy and they got Sammy Watkins about the same time. And Mike Bellamy, at the day that he signed his letter of intent, some reporter asked him why you chose Clemson, and he said because of the money. Like, and was like straight-faced. But Mike Bellamy was this incredible running back. And he went to Clemson. Now, people were very worried about him going far away from home. He wasn't great in the classroom, and he had some issues. Well, the first time he touched the ball at Clemson, he went 70 yards for a score. He only touched it 56 more times as a freshman because we had some issues with smoking.
Oh, man.
Like, Sammy Watkins also got suspended at Clemson for smoking. But Bellamy had academic issues. He loved the weed more than he liked the pigskin. But the tipping point for him being escorted out of the Clemson football program, Clemson goes to the ACC championship game. And they're in a fancy hotel in Charlotte. Well, all of a sudden, the fire alarm goes off. And the sprinkler system goes off on the floor where the Clemson football players are. You know why? Because a blunt that Bellamy was smoking set off the sprinklers and the fire alarm.
Oh, man.
So those would be my three guys that this day maybe has significance for them.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, that's rough.
Yeah. All right, you heard me mention it going into the break about what European soccer is doing. They're breaking apart. They're going to have a Super 15 league. The brands, the success. I know you as a soccer fan don't like it. I would be very curious, because we do like the underdog story. We like the group of five that potentially has a chance to get into the playoff in football. Do you believe, does anybody else believe that the promotion and relegation would ever work in athletics in this country?
It absolutely would.
That the small clubs would have a chance.
Yep.
You're last in the Big Ten. You're going to the AAC, and the champion of the AAC is moving up. You know, the structure is completely different. But maybe not in college, you know, in pro. If that would ever go over here, the Omaha Storm Chasers get promoted to Major League Baseball. The South Bay Lakers get promoted to the NBA. And the Minnesota Timberwolves are down to the G League.
Mm.
Wonder if that would ever work here. You know what it should be? They should do that with a high school classification.
Ooh.
You're last in Class A, you go to B. Whoever wins B goes up to A.
I like that.
All right. Thank you, NSA. I've done your work for you.
I like that.
So we're just kind of, we're putting together a list here. You've got 130 Division I college football programs. You've got 65 that are considered Power 5. You know how important greed is. Greed drives everything. That's what this is. But greed is a big thing. Money is everything. Entitlement is everything. So I put together, if we were putting together a top 15 super league in college football, who would it be? Remember, it's the wealthy, successful, national appeal. They have some tradition, but it isn't just recently. It is over the last, let's say, 35 to 50 years. The biggest brand in all of college football is Ohio State. Ohio State is the biggest draw in television. Michigan, Ohio State generate for the Big Ten $10 to $15 million. It is perennially one of the highest rated games. Whenever Ohio State is on air, they're going to draw big numbers. And the times that they are up against Michigan, Penn State, Nebraska, their TV ratings are going to be enormous. Just look at the TV ratings over the last 3-4 years. Ohio State is right there. So Ohio State would be a definite team that would be in this. And then you start, Michigan would be in there. Alabama, of course, would be in there. LSU, Notre Dame, Georgia, Penn State, Texas, Oklahoma, USC. Some of these programs haven't had as much recent success. I mean, would you take a Clemson into the top 15 Super League? What about an Auburn? You know, Auburn, in terms of money they generate from their football program, they are in the top 15. You'd probably also have to include Florida, because Florida has had success. Florida's got some tradition. Florida's got a lot of money. So what I just gave you here in this little fun little exercise is 13 different schools. You can only pick two. Florida State, Miami, Oregon, Nebraska, Texas A&M, UCLA, Tennessee, Wisconsin, or Washington. For the final two. And it comes back, if you were doing a top 15 Super League and I just gave you all of the qualifications, would Nebraska be considered? Nebraska's a draw on TV, despite a lack of consistent success over a couple of decades. Nebraska still has national appeal. They have tradition, and they're wealthy. Program generates a lot of money. If you want to be amused, because Andy Staples from The Athletic and I are on the same boat, boat here on who we would select, because he included Nebraska. Read, scroll, if you're subscribed to The Athletic, scroll all the way to the bottom and start reading the comments. You think Texas hates Nebraska? Man, there's 129 other football programs in the country that hate Nebraska. But it's a good little exercise to see where you actually rank in this discussion about national appeal. Nebraska still has going for them. You put them on TV on the East Coast or the West Coast. Now, they aren't hanging out in the primetime spots as much anymore. People are going to watch. Like, I'm fascinated to see what the TV ratings will be for Illinois, Nebraska. Now, Illinois is not a national brand, but it's a standalone game that the only competition they have in FBS football that day right now will be UCLA, Hawaii. It's Nebraska. It's the start of the season. Where do they put the game, and what does it draw with national appeal? I think because of where it's at, it actually will probably do well. People will be wanting a football game, and it just happened to be Nebraska. Regardless if they're coming off the year that they've had, or they're 12-20 in the last 3 years, and they're playing a team that doesn't have the same appeal. I mean, Texas A&M fans, do you think you belong in a Super League of 15? A lot of money generated in College Station. Lots of money. What about tradition? What about success? There's another part that Nebraska's kind of tied into in a discussion like this. What about Miami and Florida State? Been a while for Miami.
Yeah.
It's starting to be a while for Florida State. I think the 13 I gave to you, there's really no wiggle room on the discussion. But there's probably about 10 that would be in the mix for two. Does Wisconsin have national appeal? Can you put a Wisconsin game on in Los Angeles, non-alumni, and it will do well on TV? Or in Florida? Or in New York City? What about Tennessee? What about UCLA? Would UCLA be one of the top 15 brands to be in a Super League in college football? If you're going back 25, 30 years. It's a great discussion, but it also gives you a test of where you're at. I mean, Ohio State sits number one, and then everybody just kind of falls in line. If you think I'm just blowing smoke on Ohio State, sorry I said that on this particular day, I had to catch myself there. Just look at the money, TV ratings, attendance. They're number one. Maybe a more in-depth, entertaining conversation might be, what is the second biggest brand in college football these days? Is it Alabama? And if that's the case, then we go, who is the third? All right, Matt Lothrop's going to join us here in a little bit. News from Lincoln concerning the spring game. Get ready. The red-white game. I feel like we should have some music here, George. Okay.
Caught me off guard.
That's okay. Nebraska spring game will air on the Big Ten Network. Kickoff will be 1 o'clock a week from this Saturday. 2 hours of pregame. Oh, shoot me in the head if I had to do a two-hour pregame show for a red-white game.
Or practice?
I'm talking about practice. Well, I got to sell some ads.
Yeah.
Welcome to Nebraska. Tickets are still on sale. The stadium is capped at 50%. Right now, there have been 30,000 tickets sold. So I guess you could say they have 15,000 tickets left. You can purchase up to 10 tickets for the game. So here's what's happened. And this may have been a reason why there wasn't the initial huge number of tickets that were purchased, even during a pandemic. Because you were limited to 4 tickets. Now you can purchase up to 10 tickets. Tickets are $10 each. Wow. If tickets remain on the day of the red-white game, they have surge pricing. Day of game pricing. Tickets are going to be $15.
Oh, wow.
$25 for club seats. Oh. So 1 o'clock kickoff, BTN will carry the game, the Nebraska spring game. There are about 15,000 tickets left. That's my estimation. So get them early, get them often, and enjoy the latest spring game ever in the history of Nebraska football on May 1. Matt Lothrop's coming up next.